It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Welcome to the teaching ministry of Life Changing Ministries International with Dr. E.K.D. Quick. With your Bible in hand and your heart open to learn, let's join the teaching in progress.
From the book of Revelation, chapter 3, we are continuing our series on the seven churches of Revelation. These seven churches found in chapter 2 and chapter 3 of the book of Revelation, we are learning that these were seven real churches, seven literal churches located in the Bible days in ancient Asia Minor, modern day Turkey. These were seven literal churches with seven different experiences. These were also seven literal churches which typify every different Christian there is today. There is also every different Christian with every different experience in their Christian walk, and this is symbolically shown in these seven different churches. For instance, in chapter 2, we had the church of Ephesus, the backslidden church, the church that left its first love. Just like we have the backslidden Christian, the Christian that leaves its first love. We also had the church of Smyrna. This was the poor and faithful church that suffers. Just like we have the poor and faithful Christian that suffers. And we had the church of Pergamos. This was the church that was married to the world, one foot in the church and one foot in the world. Just like we have the worldly Christian, one foot in the church and one foot in the world. And we had the church of Thyatira. This was a church that was too busy with the wrong motive, and sin began to creep into the church, and it had tolerance and a great falling away. We also have Christians that are too busy with the wrong motive, and sin creeps into their life, tolerance creeps in, and they have a great falling away. We also had the church of Sardis, chapter 3. This was the dead church, or the frozen chosen. And we have the Christian that's spiritually dead, alive on the outside, dead on the inside. Then we have the church of Philadelphia. This is the church with the open door, the church with great outreach, the missionary church, the church that supports the furtherance of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we have the Christian that is good with outreach, the Christian with the open door, the Christian that supports the furtherance of Bibles and the furtherance of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the missionary Christian or the outreach Christian. And finally, we had the church of Laodicea. This was the lukewarm church, the comfortable church, the blasé church, the indifferent church, the church that was te sera sera. And we have the Christian that's lukewarm, the Christian that's blasé, comfortable, and indifferent. Te sera sera. And from Revelation chapter 2, verse 18 through 29, let's study today the church of Thyatira. We're going to see a church with too many works that led to tolerance, sin came in, and a great falling away or a great apostasy. This is the church of Thyatira that was founded in Acts chapter 16 by a young convert named Lydia. Verses 13 through 15 tell us that she was a seller of purple fragrances in the city of Thyatira, and along Paul's missionary's journey, she was converted, her and her whole household, and she allowed these particular apostles in their traveling missionary journeys to stay with her and to be refreshed and to be comforted. So here we see some 35 odd years previously, the word was spread, individuals were converted, a church was formed, and a great ministry went forth. But we see some 35 to 40 odd years later, Somehow, some way, the Church of Thyatira has strayed away, and the next generation began to fall into sin. All it takes is for a generation not to pass on the Word of God, and that incoming generation will have a void of who God is. And that's why we are charged in the book of Joel to pass on the Word of God to our children and our children's children. We are charged in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6, to teach the Word of God, to pass on the Word of God, the love of God, the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, all to the next generation, to speak of these things as we walk along the way, to speak of these things as we sit in our homes at our dinner tables, and pass on who God is, His love, His mercy, His grace, His deliverance. Somehow, some way, the Church of Thyatira, it was not passed on, and as a result, sin crept in, and a great falling away took place. Verse 18, chapter 2. And unto the angel of the church of Thyatira write, as we learned before, this angel is the human messenger that has the letter to be read before the church. This is the local pastor of the local church, and these letters that were written were read before the entire congregation, and it was passed on, the Word of God. Spiritual angels are not over local churches. This is the human messenger, the local pastor over the local church. Verse 18, continuing, these things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. In every epistle, Jesus Christ identifies himself with biblical language at the beginning of each epistle. Here, he's likened unto eyes having a flame of fire, and feet are like unto fine brass. This speaks of judgment. Jesus Christ is in the judgment mode. The brazen altar, fine brass, always held fire. It was the place of sacrifice, the place of judgment, where the heat was turned up for the sacrifice. And Jesus Christ is symbolically looked upon here as in the judgment mode, eyes flame of fire, and feet like unto fine brass. We know that also from chapter 1, verse 14. His head and his hairs were like wool, as white as snow. That speaks of righteousness. And his eyes were as a flame of fire. Verse 15, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in the furnace. This speaks of Jesus Christ as in the judgment mode, and Jesus Christ identifies himself in biblical language before every epistle. Why does he do this? He does this because he wants the church that has this epistle to know that it came from him. It was not written or came from the local pastor. It came from the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the Word of God. It has the authority of coming from Jesus Christ, spoken of in the first person. If you have a red letter version in your Bible, you'll see that chapter 2 and chapter 3 are in the red letter version. Jesus Christ speaking for himself in the first person. Therefore, these epistles have all the authority, all the power, all the truth of Jesus Christ speaking in the present tense, in the first person. And he's identifying himself so the local church knows that this letter came from the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 19, I know thy works and charity. Charity is unconditional love. Service, this is outreach service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Their first works were increased by the second works. They were doing more and more and more and more. And this can be a good thing if these works are backed up with a motive of love. The Bible says that faith worketh by love. Galatians 5 and 6. The very motive of why we do service for God is because we love the Lord Jesus Christ. Not for any other motive, not for our own glory or our own honor, but for His glory and His honor. Therefore, the motive must be for selfless service where He is exalted and to God be the glory. Here in the Church of Thyatira, these works were increased and the motive was not based on pure love. And as a result, sin crept in. The word, I know thy works, is listed twice in verse 19. Charity, this is unconditional love. Service, this is outreach. This is great missionary works. This is great works for feeding the hungry and clothing the naked. This is service work, going to the nursing homes and ministering the word of God, going to the sick and the shut-in, also ministering to men, to women, to teenagers, and to children alike. Great service by the Church of Thyatira. And this is a good thing as long as in-reach is priority over outreach. As long as we take care of the flock on the inside, then the flock can go out and minister to others on the outside. Verse 19, and faith, they were believers, and thy patience, they were able to endure. These individuals had a great ministry, but their works were with the wrong motive. It's not our works or our efforts, it's trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ who died for our sins and rose from the dead. It's not what we do to be saved, it's what Jesus Christ has already done on the cross. We are saved not by works, we are saved by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse number 20. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. This is not the Jezebel found in earlier scripture, for that individual lived hundreds and hundreds of years before this. This is a local woman called Jezebel who came in with some bad doctrine, and she came in with idolatry. She came in with a doctrine of fornication and a doctrine of male dominance. Individuals today may believe that it's okay to have fornication and still make it into the kingdom of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, Galatians chapter 5 teaches that no fornicator will inherit the kingdom of God. Fornication is unlawful sexual relations between an unmarried man and woman. Fornication, even though the whole world is doing it, individuals are not going to make it. Boyfriends, girlfriends, intimate sexual relations between teenagers and those early in puberty. Parents should rise up and set a boundary for their soul's sake, because even though the intoxicating event of having a boyfriend, girlfriend, and committing sins of the flesh, fornication, individuals are not going to make it. The Bible says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And that's why it's so important for pastors and leaders to guard their flock, to make sure that bad doctrine like fornication, idolatry, and things contrary to Scripture do not creep into the church. The Church of Thyatira was so busy doing service, doing double duty work, according to verse number 19, that they allowed sin to creep into the church. Verse 21, and I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. This is the grace of God, allowing space to repent. God grants every individual on the planet space to repent. It may be 1 hour. It may be 1 week. It may be 10 years. It may be 50 years. But God gives individuals space to consider their ways and to turn around. The Bible says God has no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked should turn from their wicked way. The Bible says God is long-suffering, not willing that anyone should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God gave space to repent. God confronted Adam after he had fell in chapter 3 of Genesis and gave him space to confess and repent. He gave space to Eve in Genesis chapter 3 to confess and to repent. Yet they both blamed instead of confessing and repenting. Adam blamed God and the wife. Eve blamed the serpent, and individuals did not take an advantage of their space to repent. When that tract is being handed out, when that sermon is being preached, when that song is being sung, when the altar is open, even at this very moment, individuals are getting space to repent. In the old time church, they used to call it turn or burn. In the old time church, they used to call it, if you coast, you're gonna roast. So repent and believe the gospel. Turn from our wicked ways and turn back to God and run to the loving arms of a forgiving God, a gracious God, a merciful God, a kind God. He will forgive us time and time again. Verse 22, behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. Invitation here by the Lord Jesus Christ in the judgment mode to have this church turn to repent. Repent from fornication, whether it's physical fornication, sins of the body, or whether it's spiritual fornication. This is idolatry in our hearts. James chapter 4 verse 4 talks about that. Individuals can commit physical fornication or spiritual fornication. The church of Thyatira committed both. They had idolatry, trusting in something else other than God, that's spiritual fornication, and they had physical fornication, unlawful sexual sins of the flesh. Verse 23, and I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and the hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works or to your doings. Jesus Christ here in strong language. Who would have thought the meek Lamb of God would say, I will kill her children with death. But this is Jesus Christ in the judgment mode. At this present time, God is in the gracious mode. He's in the graceful mode. He's in the merciful mode. His arms are open for anyone to come and receive forgiveness for anything they've done, past or present or future, if they come to God and confess and repent and receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. However, Jesus Christ will move one day from the gracious mode to the judgment mode, and all individuals will have to stand before God and give an account of their life. And if their name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, they will not enter into heaven. God searches the inside, the very motive of our being. The Bible says that man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looketh on the heart. He's looking at the motive. So even though no one may know what an individual is doing, the Lord knows. For the eyes of the Lord go to and fro throughout the earth, and he knows the very motives of our heart. Verse 24, but unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan, as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden. In other words, there's a remnant in Thyatira that has not fallen into the doctrine of fornication, or the doctrine of idolatry, or the doctrine of Jezebel. These individuals will not suffer God's judgment. It says here, which have not known the depths of Satan. This is a play on words where individuals back in the Bible days and today thought they were very deep and they knew things spiritually and mystically that others did not know. And it's a play on words for those who have deep thoughts with no truth. A classic example is found in 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 5 through 7 says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. So here we have the perfect scripture in context to what's going on in Thyatira, who thought they had the depths of the knowledge of God. For Jesus Christ has a play on words that it's not the depths of the knowledge of God, it's really the depths of Satan. Individuals here believing they had the depths and the deep knowledge of God were really in sin. Just like 2 Timothy chapter 3, they thought they had the deep, ever-learning knowledge of God, but they were never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Truth about righteousness and holiness. Truth about love and peace and mercy. And yet these individuals were creeping into houses and leading captive silly women laden with sins and divers lusts. Therefore, the deep thoughts with no truth was not leading to righteousness. Sometimes we can be so spiritually deep, we're no earthly good. We have to keep things simple when it comes to serving the Lord. The Bible says, be converted and be as little children. In other words, humble, soft, pliable, teachable, always growing, always learning, not thinking they're smarter than anyone else or deeper than anyone else. Jesus Christ calls this not the depths knowledge of God. He calls this the depths of Satan. Because they're deep with no truth. And as a result, they're living a life of sin. Here, fornication and idolatry. What a parallel we have in Scripture. The Bible says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. The Bible says, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. We must not just be whitewashed. We must be washed white. White as snow in the blood of the Lamb. Our sins forgiven through Jesus Christ. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Verse 25, but that which ye have already, hold fast till I come. Hold fast till the end the things which you have, the things which you know, and build on that, for he is coming again. Verse 26, and he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power or authority over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. Jesus Christ, in every letter to every church here in chapter 2 and chapter 3, gives a promise to those who overcome, a promise of a heavenly benefit of inheritance, that if they overcome to the end, they will reign and rule with the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that from Revelation chapter 20, verse 4. We also know that from 1 Corinthians chapter 6, where the Bible says, know ye not that the saints shall judge the world? Where the Bible says, know ye not that the saints shall judge angels? God has something planned for His people. We shall reign and rule with the Lord Jesus Christ, forever ruling, forever reigning, yet forever bowing at His feet in worship and praise and loving adoration. For He is the chief shepherd. He is the only potentate. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. He is the great I am. and He has a plan for us. Your labor is not in vain in the Lord. If we overcome, He has a promise for us. And this teaches us that it's not how we start, it's how we finish. Verse 28, and I will give him the morning star. This speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ. For in Revelation chapter 22, he is called the bright and the morning star. In the book of Numbers chapter 24, he is called the star of Jacob and the scepter of Israel. He is the Lord Jesus Christ, and that is our goal, to live with him forever. And ever and ever. What a reward! Everlasting peace, everlasting joy, everlasting love, all in the bosom of the Lord Jesus Christ. Last verse, verse number 29. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Here in every epistle, the Holy Spirit is also speaking for himself to the church. So God is speaking through His Word. God is speaking through a sermon. God is speaking through a tract, through the missionary. God is speaking through the kindness of the Christian, giving a cup of cold water in Jesus' name. God is also speaking through the Holy Spirit as the Holy Spirit tugs and pricks and convicts and pulls at the heart of mankind and leads them to come into the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit giving an invitation that whosoever has an ear, hear. Come to the altar and bow the knee and let the Holy Spirit draw you to the love and kindness of God and love Him with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. This is the Church of Thyatira. And on today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or if you have strayed away from His love and kindness, I invite you to pray with me this prayer of salvation, this prayer of rededication. This prayer will change your life. Pray with me. Oh God, I am a sinner. I have strayed away from your loving kindness. I believe that Jesus Christ died for my sins. I believe that God raised him from the dead. Come into my heart. Come into my life. Save me today. Forgive me, I pray. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Life Changing Ministries International. LCMI is a Christian non-denominational teaching ministry based solely on the Holy Bible, dedicated to pleasing God, glorifying Jesus Christ, and ensuring that the Bible is the foundation in everything this ministry proclaims and endorses. For more information, log on to our website at lifechangingministries.com. Please join us again next time for more Bible teaching. And remember, we have the victory through Jesus Christ.